Amen. It's good to be here this morning, kids. Have a good time in Children's Church. Well, my name is Michael. I'm the pastor here. If you're here in person and don't know you, then I'd love to meet you and get to know you. We'd love for you to leave some information for us so we can connect with you after the service. Same thing online. I'm glad that we have this tool. So if you're watching now or later on, feel free to reach out to us that way, and we'd love to connect you as well. I don't know where we're all walking in from this morning, a good week, bad week, and I guess it's okay to have a bad day today, like Andy said, but we got to sing and think about some things that are much better, give us a reason for confidence, and other than that, you know, I walk in, and it smelled like fall. I don't know about you, but it seems like the season has changed. It's cooler. And the aesthetics of this place, too. We always want to thank the ladies who put some of these things together and decorations. It's orange. The colors are in here, too. So we are in that season. And with that, you know, comes some other things. And so I think that the Lord in this series, you know, always when I'm doing books, I'm like, oh, hey, that topic's really fitting for today. You know, it's not like we plan that, because as we walk through a book, we're like, that's just what we're given by the Lord. And so it came up on patience. Patience is really the focus of today in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. So you can go ahead and turn there. As I was thinking about that this week, you know, it's just like when we get to this season, there's all that anxiety of the busyness, of the, you know, going to and from the family gatherings. I'm not disappointing anybody by not eating their food. So as you go from place to place, you're like, I already ate too much there, and then now I've got to, you know, eat again. And of course, we're Baptists, so pie and praise tonight. we're kind of like setting ourselves up for, you know, that disappointment. We get to January 1st, and after all that, you know, anxiety, we're like, oh, I ate too much. Oh, I spent too much. And then, of course, you know, we end in January, like, what do we do now? Well, I hope, I said so much, you're like, oh my gosh, like, thank you for reminding me, right? We were coming into that season. But I think if we took a pause before we get into this, right, before Black Friday and all those other things that, you know, will make us, you know, feel like, man, it's just like it's speeding up and I need something else or I want something else. Well, I think in all this, the key to experiencing even peace is looking at some pieces of the puzzle that we need as believers on a regular basis just to navigate this season, right, this time. And so with that, we'll be focusing on patience and just this idea that it's kind of a lost art. You know, as I was thinking about patience, I'm like, man, we, as a culture, we really need some lessons in this. And as believers, it certainly should bear on us as one of those things that we should focus on. We were talking about the fruits of the Spirit this week with the girls, and so it's like love, joy, peace, patience. So some of those were like, yeah, I do those really well, but not so patient. And so I think these words will encourage us today. So before we get into it, I was looking at an article recently, and it talked about patience, and it said, patience, no longer a reality. Patience, no longer a reality. It's like we're kind of in a different time, and so when people hear patience, they're like, oh, there's no time for that. You know, why be patient? And so in a survey taken recently of 1,400 people nationwide, when asked if they were patient, 80% of people said they were patient. Did that surprise you? You get on the road, then that should be, you know, I'm like, I don't think that's true, right? But supposedly 80% of people said, according to themselves, they were patient. And so 96% of people, though, when they were asked, would you eat or consume like something hot if you were in a rush, even if it might burn your mouth? And 96% of people said, yes, I would do that if I needed to get somewhere. So when it comes to food and drink, maybe we're not so patient, right? So over 50% of people said they would hang up if they were put on hold for more than a minute. I was surprised by that because I was like, 50%? Like, that's a really short hold time, right? You know, it's like 10, 15, 20 minutes long. And that's to talk to the robot, right? That's not even like you get on with the robot and it's like, no, I want to talk to a person. Well, I can't. Could you repeat that? I don't understand. No, I want to talk to a person, right? So a minute, wow, people hang up after a minute. 71% of people exceed the speed limit regularly to get somewhere, right? You know, we've all been there. I got to get there a little bit quicker, right? So of those people, the average number of episodes in a series they would watch in one sitting was 7. Wow. Yeah, Allie's like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah. So I'm like, no, just one more. Just one more. Well, wait, no, they left you hanging. And now, you know, it's not like you have to wait a week, right, to watch that stuff. So now we live in the streaming world. So it's, yeah, it's right at your fingertips. But we don't have to be patient. We can figure out what that cliffhanger was. Just go to the next episode. Just go to the next episode, right? So we don't have to be patient. We don't have to wait for anything. We'll sit there for hours, and then we'll be even more discontented. We got to the end of the seventh episode. I stayed up too late, and I got to get up, right? So, but we're there, and we've done it. So of those people, let's just look at a different age range. So between 18 and 24, of that same survey, people were asking, how long would you wait at a stoplight when it turns green before you honk at the person in front of you? You know, people are like, oh, yeah, I mean, I would wait a while. I'm nice, you know, I'm kind, like, I won't. So of those people, 18 to 24, they said they would wait a whole 1 second before honking the horn, right? So maybe as time goes on, they wait a little bit longer, right? 62% of people said they would, even if the button on the, you know, the elevator, like when you push the button and it lights up for you, so it indicates that the elevator is moving, and 62% of people said they would push the button multiple times in the hopes that it would arrive faster. Now, I'm not an elevator mechanic or technician or anything, but it doesn't actually go faster, right? But does it make you feel better? Yeah, you're just like, it will go faster. Right? You tell your kids, like, stop pushing the button, but secretly, like, just keep pushing it because it'll get here faster, right? Keep pushing it. So maybe one of those things resonates with you. And maybe, just maybe, especially during this time of the year, as the season that we approach, we might need a little bit of help with patience. So I think James has some words to help us with. God, through James, starting in verse 7, it says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rain. So as believers, we're supposed to be good at waiting. Waiting well, right? We're waiting for Jesus to return. We wait on a lot of other things in this life. If you're a child in here, you're probably already anticipating that gift, right? You're trying to wait patiently for it. The trees will be going up soon, and the gifts will be under there, and we'll be tempted to shake those boxes to figure out what they are. But I was trying to think, I'm like, when did I really begin to learn patience, right? As a child, it's like something you have to instill. They're like, no, I don't want to wait. And then as adults, we just pretend we're better at waiting than the kids are. And I was thinking, like, where did I really start learning patience? And I think it goes back to, this is probably the mid-90s, my parents had this Ford, this, you know, that blue Ford Taurus station wagon. This was before vans were a thing, right? They were like nice, you know, cool vans. Vans are cool now, right? at least, you know, I have to think they are because we drive one. So, but back then it was like the station wagon was the deal, right? And, you know, the weird thing about those station wagons, they had a special seat, you know, for the favorite child, I like to think it was, in the back. And it was that bench seat. It was like, you know, the one just appeared out of the floor and you're like, this is cool. Until you had to sit back there, you know, with all the luggage. And then, you know, you realize when you were back there, that, like, there's no air back here. You know, like in vans, it's like there's those nice air vents back there, and your kids are like, turn it up, I'm hot. And you're like, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know what it was like. And so I remember sitting back there and just, like, you know, like sweating because, you know, in Texas in the summer, you're going to see family. There's no air. You've got the luggage piled around you, and you're just like, it's hot, right? You're hoping, like, a little draft of air will come, you know, from the front. And I thought to myself, this was really where I first learned some patience. And so maybe you can relate to that. I know James didn't have any cars, right? But as I thought about this, like, I think, like, that back seat, like, you know, you're getting in, you're trying to, you know, even trying to get in and get buckled, like, we're impatient, right? And again, I remember my dad telling me, just, you know, buckle in, we got to go. And I'm like, I'm trying, the seatbelt's burning my hand as I'm trying to put it on. Like, you put me back here, you know, you put me back in this place. But no, I was thankful to have the time with family, and, you know, we all think about those travels that we'll make back and forth, and that is where I learned patience, or at least I started to. Like driving back and forth in Texas, 3 or 4 hours between grandparents, you know, to reach everybody, get to everybody. But when God gives us this word through James, this word for patience is the word makrothumeo, and it means to be of a long spirit and to not lose heart. to persevere patiently and bravely, enduring misfortunes and trouble. So when this word's used, it's not just about like, you know, oh yeah, I can wait in line, you know, at Walmart, like to get my order, right? You know, when someone's writing out a check still or whatever, you know, or cash, you know, who does that anymore? Like, where you get impatient with people like, oh, I got, well, let me get their exact change. So now we're just like, slide your card, go, you know, I got to go. Or now it's like the chip thing, so we can just like wave it over, or use our phone. And so everything's just sped up so fast, but we don't really think about what even the biblical meaning of patience is. And in it, I think we find this. The first fill in the blank is our real purpose, our real purpose. So, and as we're patient, as we're waiting well in different seasons of life and the different experiences that we have, I think you can put this by it. We find it when we wait patiently, this real purpose. As we're hurried, as we're worried, as we're anxious, especially in this season, you know, I find that real understanding of patience just goes out the window, right? We're speeding into the parking lot to get the spot, to get the last, whatever it is, right? Or to get to that family gathering, and, you know, we got to beat the certain relative there, right? So we can enjoy some time with family before they get the annoying one, right? You don't have any of those, right? But I know for us, as we, you know, think about this real purpose, we find it when we wait patiently, and God gives that to us. We understand this real patience, and this word's used a couple other places in the Bible. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise." Abraham waited a while, didn't he? And he obtained this promise that God gave to him, that he would be a part of blessing many nations. And then in 2 Peter 3:9, this word's used here, and it says, "The Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And I know what, many times we read that sometimes to make ourselves feel better. We're like, you know, the Lord is coming back, right? And so he's patient, like he's waiting, like time passes, you know, much more quickly for him. We really are patient, God. But here it says that something else is happening. God is patient towards us, and he desires that all people might be saved. But also, in the midst of life, as we're we're doing our thing and we're trying to please the Lord, but at times we falter, you know, God's very patiently, you know, looking after us as well. He's like this kind shepherd, and, you know, to the sheep that wanders off again, or, you know, no, don't run towards the wolves, they'll eat you, right? So God, in the same way, he cares for us, and he's patient with us. So it's kind of this, you know, both in this relationship, we have this real purpose in understanding patience, while God is also patient with us. And in verse 8, it says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So waiting well for the purpose of established hearts. So, you know, God's just not, he's not just like saying, hey, you're in timeout, right? It's like we've done that with our kids. You do that with your kids currently. We do it all the time, sometimes more than I'd like to, right? So, you know, go to timeout, right? Sit there, think about it. And it's almost like we view God as like, oh yeah, he wants me to be patient again. Okay, God, you know, thank you for the punishment of having to be patient. But yet, God uses this as a tool. James says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And so he uses that same word for patient, but then he used this word for establishing our hearts. And it's this word, sterizo, it means to make strong, to make strong. 1 Peter 5:10 uses it, and it says, "After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Right? So what is God doing? Like, patience is, it's a tool for God to use for our refinement. And a lot of times we think, you know, like when we have to be patient for something, or we have to wait on something, you know, it's like, why does God not like me? Why is he, you know, punishing me? Why do I have to sit in the midst of maybe a difficult or uncomfortable or situation where we even suffer? It's hard for us to think like, wait a second, maybe I should take a step back and go like, what is God teaching me right now in the midst of this patience? And again, I'm not one to say that I do this well too. I'm like, you know, hit the ground running, you know, I get up in the morning, I'm like, you know, how many things can I check off my list? And if that gets disturbed, you know, I'm like, God, you know, we got some things to take care of, right? You kind of derailed this thing, so why? But then maybe we just have to take that step back again and say, okay, if I'm understanding a real purpose that I have in life, Maybe patience is a part of that. Maybe this is like this refining tool that, you know, as your child is keeping you up in the middle of the night, and you're like, God, I'm trying here. You know, things are difficult, right? You know, we're in that season where, yeah, we're just like, things are changing so much. And, you know, you think you've like arrived, like, yeah, your kids, you know, sleeping through the night, or yeah, this is going well. And you're like, why do the situations change for us, right? And we have to be patient in the midst of all that. So here's the second thing, real problems. So we got real purpose, right? We understand what that means in our lives. We value the opportunity to be patient, even when at times we don't want to. And then we can understand what real problems are, real problems. And so there's a real problems and there's not. Maybe you've had, maybe it's a young family, if you're not right now, or you can remember back to that, when some child comes into the room and is like, you know, Dad, there's this emergency, and you know, you got to come and you got to solve the problem right now. And you think like, oh, okay, wait, you know, what is it? You go in and you're like, I need my pencil sharpened. Really? Well, I had to finish this drawing and it was like really important. You're like, that's not an emergency, right? So God gives us perspective. We understand what real purpose is in being patient. And then we understand what real problems are. And these ones that really define our lives, that give us this opportunity to be patient. And then we don't grumble about things that maybe aren't as much of an emergency or, you know, immediate. So verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So in verse 9, we see that real problems, grumblings put away, because there's some things that just don't matter as much, right? You know, we get impatient. We're like, oh, wait a second. You know, this thing didn't happen the way that I want it to. Or, you know, again, we have a lot of expectations around the holidays, right? You know, it's like Thanksgiving, you know, family gets together. Things are supposed to happen a certain way. We have traditions. And then if something doesn't go right and we're like, oh, man, I got to make an adjustment. Or, oh, that relative. Like, I know we said 12 and it's 2. Like, you know, where are they at, right? And so God is giving us this opportunity to be patient. And that's in all aspects of life, whether it's with your little kids or whether it's with friends and family or things maybe just not happening the way that they're supposed to happen, right? He says, do not grumble. So James says this in this word in the Greek, the stenazo means to sigh or groan, right? You know, sometimes it's not even like saying it like, oh man, I'm, you know, this is not great. I really don't like this. I'm grumbling about it. I know it's not a big deal. But it's like the, really? You know, and we've all done that before, right? You know, okay, you know, things aren't maybe going the way that I want them to, or, oh, come on, you know. We all have those sayings and those things that we do that everybody knows around us. Like, you know, we say them and they're like, okay, come on, you know. Come on, Dad, like, why are you being that way, right? Or, you know, I get that from my kids. Like, I'm unhappy with something. They know about it, right? They're like, I don't have to say words, but I groan or I make a certain noise. Like, okay, right, you know, what's the problem, okay? That's verse 9. Verse 10 is, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So verse 10 is real problems. Prophets suffered with real problems. You know, it's easy for us to look at our own situation and be like, you know, maybe this Thanksgiving's not going to be exactly the way I want it to be, or maybe Christmas coming up, we're going to have to make some changes. Matthew Henry put it this way. He said, the Christian practice is not a mere yielding to necessity, as the moral practice taught by some philosophers was, but it is a humble acquiescence in the wisdom and the will of God. So, as an example of suffering and patience. And a lot of times those things go hand in hand. We're like, oh, I'll be patient. Yeah, I don't have a problem being patient, God. But what if the patience is accompanied by suffering? We're like, no, thank you. I don't think I will take that. I'll be patient. You know, I'll wait in line at Starbucks a little bit longer. You know, I'll be patient, God. I'll, you know, and we think we're like, you know, we're doing God a favor, or we're, you know, we're growing exponentially. But no, this patience that James is talking about amidst suffering, amidst persecution for the church, was a little bit deeper than that, right? He was going, hey, in the midst of this patience, in the midst of this suffering, you might want to consider a few things. And that there's real suffering, there's real pain, there's real problems, and then there's not. And it's weird. It's like, you know, we almost, it's hard for us to thank God for those things too, right? As we experience the ability to be patient in the midst of suffering, we're like, get rid of it as quickly as possible, God, because it's terrible, right? And if you're experiencing that right now too, you know, it's hard to have that perspective. You know, usually like past the event or past the situation, we'll be like, oh yeah, thank you, God, you know, for allowing me to experience that so that I could learn more patience in the midst of that suffering. Because it's difficult while you're experiencing it. But yet, this is part of the equation. He says, take those prophets. You know, we think about any of the prophets in the Old Testament, everybody loved them, right? No, they didn't. So as you're reading those accounts, you're like, oh man, that guy had a really hard time. Like, he was telling people a message that nobody wanted to hear, nobody wanted to listen to. In fact, they were like, most of the time it was like, if you keep talking, we're going to kill you. Or we're going to, you know, cast you out. I mean, you know, we complain sometimes about like our friends, family members, maybe relationships not being the way we want them to. But these guys, like, most of them didn't have anybody. They were like, it was them and the Lord. And they're like, really, God, go and tell everybody again the same thing that I already said and put a little bit different twist on it. Here's what's going to happen. If you don't come back to the Lord. Yeah, that person wasn't a popular person, right? Didn't have any friends. And so in the midst of all the sufferings they experienced alone, can you imagine, right? Patience in the midst of that. Okay, God, I'm going to serve you with my whole life, and yeah, it's going to, you know, nobody's going to like me, and then I get to the end, and then I might die a martyr's death. Maybe a little different perspective on patience, right? In verse 11, it says, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. If you've heard the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So James is like, okay, yeah, the prophets in general, but think about Job. What did he experience? Suffering, pain, loss. I mean, you think about what he did lose: money, possessions, family, friends, health. I mean, that's enough right there. His friends turned on him. His wife said, you know, give up, right? God doesn't care about you. Let's just end this thing now. But there was this greater purpose that God had in Job's struggles. He would be shown mercy on mercy. He says here, you've heard the steadfastness of Job. This was all for a purpose. And we think about what the beginning of this verse says too. It's like, you know, God's like, you're blessed. And we don't think about that in the same way. Like when you read James, he's like, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. And this was in reference to the prophets and now to Job, who was like, no, I still am going to be faithful to God. Like, he said, do we take the good things and the bad things? Or do we just take the good things, say, thank you, God, and when the bad things come, like, oh, I don't want to be patient. Oh, I don't want to suffer. I don't really want to grow in my faith. Can I still do that in the good stuff? Yeah. But big growth happens, right, when we suffer. When we experience what James says here, those will be blessed who remain steadfast. I love this word here. He uses, it's the word hupomeno in the Greek, and it says to preserve under misfortune and trials, to hold fast to one's faith. So this isn't just like, I'm remaining steadfast, the light turned green, I didn't honk, you know, I waited 5 seconds. So I'm actually, like, percentage-wise, I'm like in the 90th percentile. So, you know, God, you're welcome, right? And we think about that instead of more difficult things, right? So, and again, this only comes with being patient and trusting the Lord in the midst of all this. So we find real purpose, and we understand what real problems are, and those are the ones that really grow us the most. I was thinking about that the last couple of weeks. This was several weeks ago. I went in for my 5-year cancer screen, and you know, there's a lot of anxiety surrounding that, you know, those kind of things. If you ever had cancer or any, you know, sort of debilitating illness or something that you just go like, this could end my life relatively quickly, and you know, just with no warning. And so I went in, and luckily it was a good report, you know, cancer free 5 years after the fact. And I always think about, like, you know, I'm like a details person too, so I'm always like, you know, going online, like, what are the statistics, you know, and 5 years, which I knew when I first found out I had cancer. I was like on the internet, like we all do. We're like, what, you know, what, And you find out all the stuff that makes you more anxious, right? And God's like, get off the computer, you know? And so when I looked at a few things, like after 5 years, it's like percentage-wise, you know, it goes down, that it'll, you know, be a recurrence. And I'm like, you know, thank you, that makes me feel better. And then I'm like, why don't I feel better about that? Because where does our hope, where does our patience and our steadfastness come? Does it come from like, well, the doctor, the smart person said, like, it's probably, you know, it's probably going to go better. And then I'm like, wait a second, Lord, if my joy in the midst of problems, real problems, comes from you, then my suffering produces this ability to have patience in the midst of it, right? It never ends for us, right? Our lives are filled with God continuing to give us opportunities to be patient and to grow and not trust in all the world's, you know, circumstances or what a doctor might tell you, but where we find patience in the Lord. And that's where we grow the most. So we place this, what, our confidence in the Lord, and we understand in the midst of those real problems. So we've got purposes and then problems, and the last one is real pursuit. Hey, we're on the last point. It's only 25 minutes in, okay? 25 minutes in, we're on the last point, okay? Only one more verse. Real pursuit comes from knowing God. So as we know God deeply, we understand this great pursuit that we have that gives us the ability to grow, again, to grow in patience. I know some of you are like, I don't really want to grow in patience, so you know, if things are good and I don't have to suffer, then I'm good with that, right? I'll stay at whatever level of patience I am at. But verse 12 says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So real pursuit comes from knowing God. And verse 12 is this, you know, this aim of our life, really. Having lived patiently, we pursue this, maybe more this unhurriedness, right? You know, we're so quick, and our culture's like so just like, you know, one thing after another, you know, and if you're not entertained with this, you know, get on that. Like, we go from our phones to our whatever our computers or devices are, even like our, you know, cars now have like the screens, you know, the computers, you know, and like they have to like update their operating systems. I'm like, this is going to go bad at some point, right? But everything's driven by like that. You know, there's another screen, there's another thing to distract you, right? And it's easy for us. You don't have to look very far, but you have to work really hard to be patient or like to be given that opportunity. And certainly the suffering does produce it. Cyril of Alexandria said this. He said, let the witness of our lives be stronger than an oath. And if some shameless person dares to ask an oath from you, let your yes be yes and your no be no instead of swearing an oath. So there was an article I saw recently, and of course, you know, if you've been to courthouse or like, you know, county buildings, government buildings in the past, you'd see like the Ten Commandments, you know, on like some sort of platform or sign or something as you go in. Most of those have been gotten rid of over the years. That was kind of a big thing when I was growing up, like, they're taking away the Ten Commandments. What are we going to do? Well, I saw something else, and you may know where I'm going with this. So if you find yourself in a courtroom, hopefully not, but at times that does happen. And one of the things you'll notice, or if we all watch TV, right? So there's another screen thing. And we like to watch like shows about law, you know, about police, about doctors, things like that. And or about firefighters, I like those. And but then when you're in the courtroom, what's one of the things they do? So you're being called to the stand. What are you going to have to do? Usually get the Bible, you know, place your hand on the Bible. And so there's a phrase that said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And what's normally said? I do. And what does that put you in the place of? You're what's considered under oath. And so there's a reason they do this. And I read an article recently that said one state was taking that out of the process. So you go into the courtroom and you say, hey, do you promise to tell the truth? Yeah, I promise. I wonder how much that's worth in our culture and in our society today. And so when James says this, you know, this has some weight for us, right? Above all, brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no, so you may not fall under condemnation. So this being under oath, and what happens if you tell a lie, by the way, when you're under oath, what's that? You can be charged with perjury, right? Because you're telling a lie. Now, all the rest of society, you know, culture, right, post on social media, you can do anything you want. You can say anything you want, whether or not it's the truth, and you can usually get away with it. But in this place, in a courtroom, that does not take place anymore. So we start to lose as a culture this, you know, objective source of truth as we walk through this. We understand what real purpose is, real problems, and then real pursuit should be much deeper for us as believers. Like if we say one thing, that should be something that people can count on. As we interact in the rest of the world, not so much. And we even start to see this now impacting our culture and the things around us. Somebody close to you might even say, yeah, I'll be there at that special gathering, or I'll be on time. And they're not. And they're like, you didn't tell the truth, right? But for us, we have this real pursuit. And so I think, at least in this section, it's ended for a particular reason, yet your SBS and your no be no, so that you might not fall under condemnation. So what does this look like for us? Well, for us as believers, maybe you don't get up in the morning and swear on your Bible. God, I don't want, I'll be under oath all the time. But as we walk with something even greater, right? You know, we don't have to stand up there and be like, you know, you'd be charged with perjury if you don't tell the truth. But yet we walk with the Spirit of God inside of us, you know, and it changes us and it gives us this ability to see things more clearly, that we might have real purpose in our lives, real problems. Those all will come, right? We don't ask for those typically, but when they do come, we respond in a particular way and we're able to be patient. And not like the rest of the world that it's like this lost art, right? It always drives me crazy. You know, there's been a lot of things I've seen recently where people will like vandalize like art. It just like drives me crazy. You know, I'm like, why would we do that? Like, you know, climate change, right? I ruined a Monet. You're like, wait a second, that doesn't doesn't make any sense. They just wanted to get attention, but maybe there was a different way to do that. And so I don't know, in understanding real pursuit and like what we're really after, what God has for us, maybe there's a different way to do that. And I think it really just boils down to what James is talking here about patience. About patience. And it's something that we, you know, we say like, yes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all the things that we should do as believers. But especially when it comes down to this season, maybe this time of the year, we just need to dial in and go like, God, I really want to be an example of patience. And maybe it's the unhurried pace. Maybe it's the letting somebody go in front of you at the store. You know, oh, you know what? The last one, yeah, you take it. And those are just the minor ways that we demonstrate that. But consider that, and maybe that our lives are better than others. And we'll actually get an opportunity at the end of service to take advantage of something really cool locally. We got to do the Operation Christmas Child stuff. And I love when we get to you know, take our hands off of our own personal interests and then meet the needs of others. We'll do one of those local things here in a moment. You may remember at the Christmas tree mittens. We'll give those out. But as we close, I just want to tell a story, and then maybe this will challenge us. our family was out to eat over the summer. We were at this place called the Silos restaurant. It's over in Lewiston. So it's like right on the river there in Lewiston. And so you can like overlook it. They took like this old silo building like you'd find here in Elba, and they like cut it out and put a little restaurant in it. Really cool. We went on this one day. It was very crowded. It was very busy. And so there's a lot of people there kind of going in and out. It took us a while to get food and then sit down. And so you're trying to be patient without like little kids. And I'm hungry. Like, why aren't you feeding me? And you finally get them down and you're gone. And then we had left something in the car. So I was heading back out. And I know there was this elderly lady, and she had her walker there, and she was sitting towards the exit, and she was trying to get up, and as she was trying to do that, like, people were pushing past her, like, bumping her walker, and I was just like, there's something in me, you know, that's like, that's not right. That makes me a little bit upset. And so, you know, I'm heading towards the exit, and I stop, and I'm like, hey, everybody, we're going to wait until she gets up. And so she gets up, and I had to walk behind her. I felt like I was like holding back, you know, like the floodgates. You know, people were just like, if you don't move out of my way, I'm going to push you down. And I'm like, you're not going to push me down, right? And so I'm just like standing there as everybody's just like backing up, you know, trying to get, you know, out of the restaurant or go in and order. And she takes a while, but she does get out to where she needs to go. And she thanked me, and I said, you know, you're welcome. You know, no need to thank me for that. But I'm like, why... Why for us as believers can we not maybe consider not just, you know, the circumstantial things like that that should just be obvious to us to help those in need, but maybe even spiritually, like whatever God is doing in our hearts, in our minds right now, that we can have this perspective that James gives us, not like the world that says patience is no longer a reality, or patience is a lost art. And the sad thing, I think, is that a lot of us, and especially the world, would think that they are patient, or they do have patience. But then when you ask those deep level questions, most people aren't really patient, right? And they're not really considering those things and how God works in the midst of that patience to give us an opportunity. Did I want to do that? I'm not trying to cause a scene. I'm just like, this is how we should treat older people. You know? That should just be baseline. And then we had to be patient. And I even felt like in that moment myself, as other people around us are like rushing us and pushing us in the season, like just get with the program, you know, go with the flow, get out of the way. You know, you're not driving 10 over the speed limit, so you're not going fast enough for me, right? And we've all been there. And we've all experienced those different things on how God is working with us in the midst of teaching us about patience. So, what are we going to do? I don't know. Stop and smell the roses. That sounds, you know, strange. And, I'm probably the last person to say that in a lot of ways, just because I lack patience as well. But maybe God is teaching us in the midst of that, the trial, the suffering, and not allowing us to medicate it either, too. Because, you know, as we close, I think about that, like, we're good at just turning on the TV, you know, or getting our favorite meal or dessert or whatever it is, or just like finding something that will make us feel better so we don't have to deal with patience, right? We don't have to think about it. But maybe God's going to use it this season, and so resist the temptation to distract yourself or to not be allowed to be patient, right? Because that can certainly be taken away from us. Really quickly, slow down, be patient, maybe advocate for somebody else, tell the truth, be people of integrity. It normally takes time and effort to do that, maybe a little bit of patience. So real purpose, real problems, real pursuit in the midst of this season in James. You know, I think his words written a few thousand years ago, pretty important for us today, pretty prevalent, pretty effective for our lives. And so maybe if you find yourself here today, and you don't know what this is all about. You're like, I don't know, James, patience seems like it's better just to be rushed. Maybe you just need to take the first step. Find yourself in a relationship with God for the first time. The Bible tells us if we admit we're sinners, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose on that third day, conquering sin and death. We confess with our mouths that he's the Lord of our lives and we'll be saved. I was having a conversation with Hannah this week, and she was looking at the baby Jesus in the quiet time picture, and then the Jesus, you know, coming out of the tomb, and she's like, that's Jesus, but who's that to the baby? And I'm like, well, that's Jesus also. See, he came, and he lived this sinless life for us. It started as a little baby. It's like the scripture says he humbled himself that he might experience everything, so that when we look to him, we go, God, it's difficult. I'm suffering. I'm having to be patient right now. We can go, he gets it, right? He understands us. And he went through all that, and then he died on a cross, and then he got up from the grave, and we celebrate this new, sweet little baby Jesus at Christmas. But he did a whole lot more than that, right? And we get to have that perspective. So let's think about that as we close. I'll close in prayer. If maybe you haven't made that decision today, I'd love to talk to you about that and reach out to us online if you're listening, and we can start that conversation with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. I'm in the midst of what we know will be a very busy season. As we turn on the TV, it pushes us away from patience. It pushes us away from contemplation, away from having to wait for anything, to remove our suffering as quickly as possible. God, we just pray that during this season, we would understand what the real purpose of our lives are. So many people walk around not with joy, with no happiness, not knowing what the purpose of their life is. We thank you that we have great purpose in you. God, as we experiencing the real problems of life, that we would understand that you're using those to foster in us great growth, a great patience, God, whatever we experience, that we might have that, and that we really, at the end of all of this, we understand what the pursuit of our life is, that we might be patient, that we might demonstrate that to a world around us, that we might be those who are truthful, whatever time it takes. Let us not be those kind of people that lack integrity, that cut corners, simply because we don't want to be patient. Help us to do that well, to be an example to the world around us. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So